Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
ونحب ما يرضى لله من يرجو مولاه في مسعى. يا إخوتي سيروا في نوره وهدى في نوره وهدى.
سرنا بعون الله منهاجنا تقوى. سرنا بعون الله منهاجنا تقوى. ما خاب من يبغي دوم الرضا مولا.
فالنور أدمعه في تلكم المشكاة والحب فواح كالمسك مازكى. فالنور أدمعه في تلكم المشكاة والحب فواح كالمسك مازكى.
نهديه إخوتنا
أحبابنا في الله.
سرنا بعون الله منهاجنا تقوى. سرنا بعون الله منهاجنا تقوى. ما خاب من يبغي دوم الرضا مولا.
من أنفس تذكو شوقا إلى لقيا. أواه يا طوبى ونعيمها أواه.
من أنفس تذكو شوقا إلى لقيا. أواه يا طوبى ونعيمها أواه. وزيادة فيها
من ربنا مرأى من ربنا مرأى.
كم مهجة صرخت لله وشوقا. كم مهجة صرخت لله وشوقا. لله وشوقا.
لله وشوقا.
سرنا بعون الله منهاجنا تقوى. سرنا بعون الله منهاجنا تقوى. ما خاب من يبغي دوم الرضا مولا. ما خاب من يبغي دوم الرضا مولا. دوم الرضا مولا. دوم الرضا مولا.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to the spiritual breakfast. Alhamdulillahi alladhi aqalana yawmana hadha wa lam yuhlikna bidhunubina. All praises belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal, who has bestowed upon us this day and has not destroyed us on account of our sins. The date today is the 2nd of Rabi'ul Awal, 1447. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us once again, another opportunity, another day to improve ourselves, another day to put our GPS direction correct once again. And it must be facing in the direction of Jannatul Firdaus. But for this worldly life, we have to be facing the Qibla. When we are facing our Salah, when we are performing our Salah, it's just sad to know that the rogue regime on the one side, they are destroying Deen. But those are our open enemies. But what about those who are dressed in thobes, those who are dressed in Arabian scarves, and those who are destroying our Deen within? And there you could see, just last week Friday, we got the disturbing news that what will happen? They will put up that cinema, which is ultra close to the Haramain, or at least Masjid al-Haram. Haramain, when we speak of both, this year Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was a given from a long time ago. Now they've been putting all these cinemas and the rest. But now within close proximity, there will be a whole masjid. In fact, not a masjid complex. This is a cinema complex. And this will be close, within close proximity of Masjid al-Haram. Masjid al-Haram. Do you know how much they are spending, O listeners? $346 million on this particular project. When you're looking at rials, it goes in 1.3 billion rials, somewhere there. So this kind of money is being spent to put up a cinema in Masjid, close to Masjid al-Haram. They say it's not within the haram, what we call haram. It is not within that parameters. But what do they say? They say that no, it's just without, it's just beyond, outside of there. But still, it's such close proximity, and you are blocking the spirituality of our believers when they go to the Haramain. Medina Munawwara, Makkah Mukarramah now. And this will be something that will be recorded, not by us, but by the angels, that you did such a thing like this. Yeah. But on the one side, there is our Palestinians, our people of Gaza, showing us once again, what is courage? What is courage? We will not. You can put bullets through our heads, but we are not moving from here. Determination, courage, and this is what you call tolerance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, verse 155, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. This is of Surah Al-Baqarah. Give glad tidings. When you look at all those categories which Allah is mentioning in this verse, verse 155 of Surah Al-Baqarah, you find there and there, Allah is mentioning about jua, that is hunger. Allah is mentioning about khawf, that is fear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning about reduction in life, reduction in lives, reduction in wealth, and as well, reduction in fruits. But وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. This is the beauty of being a believer, that despite the calamity, despite that everything is going against you, once you become a believer, once you believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla, Nabi Kareem Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you believe, we have to say this as well and qualify our statement, and you believe in everything that keeps you as a believer, and you shun those things which, if you had to believe in, it's going to take you out of being a believer, out of being a Muslim mu'min believer. So this year is vitally important as well when you're explaining to a non-believer, because you may just give a one-sided story. And often we have this mindset to impress. Impressing is good, but Islam in itself is impressive. You do not need to exaggerate. You need not to lie. Because what we often tend to say to new Muslims, or to new potential Muslims, in fact, is that, you know, if you accept Islam, you will get a lot of money. Why must you say such a thing like this? Yeah. Because if that person does not get money, then what happens? He is not going to believe anymore, because his very coming into Islam was because of the money. So this is why it's important, vitally important, to be clear-cut when you're explaining. Yes, you must be impressive in the manner in which you present your message. This is vitally important. But in terms of impressing or making Islam look attractive, there's no need to do that. Because Islam in itself, once you start practicing, once you yourself are showing what a believer is, then you don't need any more attractive words to it. Because in itself, that is why Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they could just walk to business, do the general dealings, and people were already affected, and they were somewhat affectionate to our deen of Islam. And that is when they said, we have to also bring iman. But today with your actions, my actions, how much of fixing don't we need to do? That is why we recited for you now that sunrise dua, and that is so vital, perfectly, the perfect timing for the morning, for the sunrise. This is the dua. because we are filled with sin. And if it had to be just because of our sins, then we would have been destroyed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great, so beautiful. Have good thoughts about Allah azza wa jal. This is something that is vital. Constantly have good thoughts about Allah, and you'll see, you'll slowly be coming out of your depression. Depression is this because we have this negative inclination, and that is because of our iman going down on a daily basis. Now it's time. Have you not realized, have you not come to that realization that now it is time I need to fix and I need to work on my iman? Once that is built up, you've seen in Australia how many women accepted Islam just in the last week? 30. The focal point here is we as believers, we need to be positive. Now let's recite together and let's make this morning spiritual, and then let's make this morning somewhat beneficial. Let's recite these words. Recite with me. Raditu, raditu, raditu billah, raditu. I'm going to say it slowly because they may be new believers, they may be elderly people. So we want to do it in such a manner. As I mentioned to you always, when I was a young boy, some things on radio you just couldn't catch it because the presenter would say it so fast. So I want to say it slowly, slow enough, so that, and then after you say it, I'm going to mention to you what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said is the benefits and the rewards of reciting just these three statements. Right, let's go. Raditu billahi rabba, raditu billah, raditu billahi rabba, raditu billahi rabba. I am pleased with Allah as sustainer. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena. Wabil Islami Dina, Wabil Islami Dina, Wabil Islami Dina, and Islam as religion, as deen. Wabi Muhammadin Nabiya wa Rasula, Wabi Muhammadin Nabiya wa Rasula, Wabi Muhammadin Nabiya wa Rasula, Raditu Billahi Rabba. وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد نبيا ورسولا. Narration of Abu Dawood. One narration comes Nabi, one narration comes Rasul. So we incorporate both and we put it together, and you have just recited رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد النبي ورسولا. I'm happy with Nabi Kareem Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam as prophet, as messenger, and as Nabi, messenger of Rasul and Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the benefits of reciting this year? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever recites this, Jannah becomes wajib on such a person. Jannah becomes wajib upon such a person. This is the benefit of reciting Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi Muhammadin nabiyya wa rasula. See, so you driving, you are in your condition, your depression, whatever it may be. So then recite these words, and this is beneficial for you. Jannah becomes wajib upon you. Understand this well. So what's the key aspect? Because for you and I, when we say Jannah becomes wajib upon us, and just a little bit of investment, often you want big, huge returns. You want that mansion. You want that vehicle. You want this. You want, how much of effort don't you have to put in? And then after some sweat and effort, then it comes to you. But this year, just few statements, and there you're getting Jannah wajib upon you. See, it's the psychological effect that it has upon you. And this psychological effect has to be within. It. One is you just rendering it with your tongue. But inside, you are totally barren. Inside, you are totally hollow. Inside, you are totally bare. But when you are reciting with feeling, with meaning, and you are reciting together with this year, you are reciting with conviction, 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 then what happens? This has this psychological effect on you, number one. Number two, you're going to act upon what you say. You're going to live it. You're going to live like Allah is my sustainer. You're going to live like Islam is my religion. You're going to live like Nabi Kareem Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the person that I need to follow. You're going to live like it. It's not just a mere utterance of the words, but Yes, it is utterance of the words. It has comes in the hadith. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never mentioned in the hadith, you've got to practice. But just by merely saying these words, what does this mean? It means by saying these words, it's so effective, it's so powerful, that once you recite it, it's going to boost your iman immediately, instantly. And that's going to drive you to do the actions of becoming a jannati. May Allah make us amongst them. Allahumma ja'alna minhum. May Allah make us amongst those, the inhabitants of Jannatul Firdaus. If you look in Suratul Mutaffifin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights what it means to be a person who is indulging in good actions. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. Surely the righteous, they will be in ever bliss. عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْدُرُونَ. They will be reclining, watching scenes. What scenes? In this worldly life, you gave up all the scenes, all the movies, all the rest. And in Akhirah, then what happens for you? On the day of Qiyamah in Akhirah, you will be reclining and watching true real scenes. Today, you'll see, just over the weekend, on Saturday, we mentioned to you on the news that it is Elon Musk once again, and there is some other Turkish individuals who is now going through with this AI chips within your brains. And what's this going to do? It's going to sort of, they claim, it's going to reduce Alzheimer's. It's going to do so many other things for you. But the reality is this, it's going to control your thoughts. How it's going to work, Allah alone knows best, and may Allah make it fail. That's what we have to say. Elon Musk is still trying to colonize Mars. So what is he? And striving to colonize our minds. So there is these the questions which Elon Musk still has to answer. If you just look at the whole big picture, it's to synchronize your thoughts with the Jali red carpet that's being rolled currently. So from Makkah Mukarrama, there where the cinemas, the Jali cinemas is going to be put up, may Allah make it fail. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلِ. Have we, has your sustainer not made their plans and their plots, turned it null and void into zero in terms of its advancements, in terms of its movements? Allah Azza wa Jal turned Abraha's plans in total zero. So we need to make this dua as well, that Ya Allah, Ya Dhul Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Allah, you cause their hearts to change and turn. And if this is not meant for them, if taqdeer is not written out, Ya Allah, then you destroy them and you remove them totally and replace them with imams for the muttaqeen. وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. This is what we need to be reciting now. Ya Allah, make us imams for the muttaqeen, because when you are imam for a muttaqeen, for the muttaqeen, for those, the fear, Allah-fearing individuals, then what your iman, what your taqwa mustn't be. Normally, you're not supposed to want and desire a ruling position. But in this case, you are asking for leadership and you're asking to be the imam of the muttaqeen. Why? The reason is simple. Because the muttaqeen, their taqwa is, it's something. But for you to lead the muttaqeen, your iman, your taqwa has to be higher. So that is why it's desirable in this, because you want to be better and better and better. And this is what it is. That is why the Quran Sharif, Hudallil Muttaqeen, it is guidance for who? For the Muttaqeen, for those, the Allah-fearing people, individuals. So that is why you may say, you may ask this question as well, that okay, Hudallil Muttaqeen, the Muttaqeen are already pious. So how come it's guidance for them? Because they are searching for guidance. They are searching for guidance, whereas those who are looking for faults in the Quran Sharif, then the Quran Sharif misleads them. You may ask, but how can you say the Quran Sharif misleads someone? يُدِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. Allah says it. Allah, through this Quran Sharif, makes many go astray. Because why? They are looking for faults in the Quran Sharif. They haven't come and accepted iman wholeheartedly. You've heard what the Kufar Shia have been threatening now. Yesterday they sent out that message going around, and this was in Kuwait, telling the individuals, telling the people that see, they want to destroy our masajid. If you don't believe, And if you feel that this year is not true, then let's play it for you and let's understand it as well. So here is it, yeah? And then you'll understand.
نثر من هؤلاء أنتم الآن ذاهبين إلى حرب مقدسة أنتم الآن ذاهبين إلى سوريا إلى الشام لقتل أهل السنة نعم أنتم الآن تثأرون من بني أمية أنتم الآن الشيعة شيعة إيران شيعة أفغانستان شيعة حزب الله أنتم الآن نجهزكم للذهاب لهدم مساجدهم وبناء الحسينيات وإن كان بين أهل السنة رجال فليتقدموا ونحن
What are they saying here, you may ask, for those who do not understand Arabic. So they're saying it's time to brutalize the Sunnis. This is in Kuwait. It's time to take revenge from the Sunnis. They're saying the Shia, I would never like to say and even attach myself to these people. But nonetheless, they are saying and they're calling to brutalize the Sunnis, their masajid, as well as take revenge from the Sunnis. What revenge? They are saying it is time to do this year, to go in fully and call on this. They call it a holy war. They call it a holy war. And they're saying you are going to go to Syria, to Sham, to kill the Sunnis. Look how they are promoting and provoking these individuals. You are going to take revenge on the Umayyads. You, the Shia, this Imam is saying, the Shia of Iran, the Shia of Afghanistan, the Shia of Hezbollah. See, the enemies within. They say you are now preparing to go and destroy their masajid and build Husayniyas. This is their masajid. And if they are real men, then let them come forward and we will confront them in the battlefields. Who's calling for the war? Who's calling for this year? Could we ever, for one moment, where are those individuals who claim to be part of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, but they are not willing to say and really say what the Kufar Shia are all about? See, they are calling for this year. But let's not ruin our morning just because of the Kufar Shia. We keep them and we put them in their place and we don't let them bug us too much. But we will really bug them because we're going to speak over and over again about the virtues of the noble companions, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So this will be part in our goal because it is, after all, Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So if you're wondering why do we attack the Shia so much, it is because the very reason why Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, was formed was in opposition of these kuffar thugs. Because of, you've heard it, what they've said. They are thugs. If you want this clip, let's share it with you. And let the ummah know, for those who are silent, that you may be claiming to be part of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But as long as you cannot say the reality of these kuffar Shia, then understand well, you yourself are showing and lowering your shoulder of mercy to these thugs. You are allowing this to break free. You're allowing it because you've been entertaining them for so long and they are going to come back to stab you. And they are more dangerous than the Jews. Why is it so? Because the Jew and the Zionists, you understand them to be your enemy. But these people, when you have not understood them to be your enemy, that is why they're going to knock you from the back. You have to be aware. That is why Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahimullah, he made effort to remove this Kufar Shia first, and then we can move forward as an ummah. So first, where does it start? We have to label them as Kufar, and we have to label them for what they are, because otherwise we constantly going to lower our shoulders towards these individuals, allowing them into our homes, allowing them into the marriages. You've heard. Wasn't it just recently, just on Radio 786, where that individual came scot-free and made it known that we should be marrying the Kufar Shia? And he said, what did he say? He says, I would not like to make this distinction between them and the rest. Did he not say this here? Or are we just saying, or are we just pulling out from our back pockets? No, they did. He did say this here. And this is who? It was none other than Maulana Hashim Qasim who said these individuals. So you can check the audios and the videos. The faces are covered. Go on Awake O Ummah and you will find just there on the homepage, you'll find Radio 786 Deviation with Maulana Hashim Qasim's monstrous statements where he made these statements about, where he said, we don't want to get into...
I actually don't want to make this separation between Shia Muslims, Sunni Muslims.
There, he said this year, I actually do not want to make this separation. Anyway, we're not going to get through or let this bug us too much. We're going to move on next, inshallah. There is a particular nasheed which was played yesterday. The request was for me to translate it. So let's put it for you today. And we will then play it for you first. And thereafter, we will then translate it as is the request. So let's send it to our engineer once again. And he will then play it for us. Then we can move forward in this particular direction. There is just a quick mindset, or in fact, a quick request as well. The request is we've just started now a channel. So for this particular group, so that awareness is being made and we can have much more meaningful conversations and also join in on this year. So there's a channel being created. I said we're going to make a group yesterday. There was good, excellent suggestions. Your suggestions has meant a lot. Inshallah, we're jotting it down and we're focusing on how we're going to present whoever has messaged so far and try to accommodate for each and every person who's messaged yesterday. Nonetheless, you can also, if you haven't yet messaged, you have a beautiful suggestion or something that you want to share with us, then send us a message now. And this will be on the number 084-786-3132. I urge one and all, just save the number so that you can just, you can have it there ready anytime you want to message on any of the programs. Like just now, 8:30 to 9 on a Tuesday and Wednesday, we have Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman and interesting discussions there with him. He's a revert, over 75 years of age, but experienced, and you must hear the kind of discussions we have, alhamdulillah, with his barakah and the rest, giving you what you need to know. Hands-on, research is deep. So join us, 8:30 to 9, discussion there. We're going to have 8:30 to 9. Then I said to you, this channel here, which which you need to join, I'm going to send it I've sent it already. You can just check on our WhatsApp, on the Markaz Sahaba WhatsApp. Just check on the home page. If you just go to status and you'll find it there, you can just join. Just press the link there. It's all mentioned there. So there we've got this, and you should join there. I know I said a group, but I said now a channel will be much better, because it's much easier to manage and the rest. And the benefit of a channel is no information is disclosed. You can't just decide, I want to message the creator of the group, or you can't just decide this or that. But the so you may say then, but how are we going to communicate? So you're going to communicate with me via the Markaz Sahaba tab, and you will then message me on the tab, whatever it is you want to suggest, whatever programs. Yesterday, good suggestions came in. Had you not suggested yet, then send us your message and we can work on that, inshallah. So let's just give us a few minutes. We're going to relocate that nasheed and then send it to our engineer, and then we'll play it for you, inshallah. So the listener who requested this year, we're going to play it first, and then thereafter, inshallah, we'll translate it.
زاد للسفر الطويل وأي زاد للسفر الطويل يا
بلغ بالقليل من القليل
تبلغ بالقليل من القليل وأي الزاد للسفر الطويل وأي الزاد للسفر الطويل وطاعته غنى الدارين فالزم وطاعته غنى الدارين فالزم وفيها العز للعبد الذليل وفيها العز للعبد الذليل
تبلغ بالقليل من القليل تبلغ بالقليل من القليل وأي الزاد للسفر الطويل وأي الزاد للسفر الطويل
وفي عصيانه عار ونار وفي عصيانه عار ونار وفي البعد مع خزي وبيل وفي البعد مع خزي وبيل
تبلغ بالقليل من القليل تبلغ بالقليل وأي الزاد للسفر الطويل وأي الزاد للسفر الطويل
فلا تعصي إلهك وأطعه فلا تعصي إلهك وأطعه دواما على تحظى بالقبول دواما على تحظى بالقبول
تبلغ بالقليل من القليل تبلغ بالقليل من القليل وأي الزاد للسفر الطويل
وصلى ربنا في كل حين وسلم بالغدو وبالأصيل على طه البشير بكل خير ختام الرسل والهدي الدليل
وصلى ربنا في كل حين وسلم بالغدو وبالأصيل على طه البشير بكل خير ختام الرسل والهدي الدليل وصلى ربنا في كل حين وسلم بالغدو وبالأصيل وصلى ربنا في كل حين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So we said we'll translate this, inshallah. Beautiful meaning to it, and often that's what happens. We just so attracted to the voice, attracted to the tune, but lacking in, if you look at today's anashid, it is lacking with meaning. But those days, and you, this is a very old nasheed, by the way, but you can hear they don't need no instruments to boost it, but just with the mere voice, they were able to give this beautiful rendition with so much of sincereness. And that is what we said yesterday. Beauty lies in sincereness. In anything, beauty lies in sincereness. When you're going to meet your potential spouse under the real Shari way, not just going dating and the rest, you're going to the house. So don't put so much of makeup so that you become so fake. And the real person that you're going to marry, why I say real person? You may say, but real person? Yes, because AI and the rest. So real person, the real person you're going to marry. You've heard all these stories and incidents of people marrying AI and the rest because they say AI is very responsible. AI responds very, very quickly. And yes, that is quite impressive of AI. It beats us men, it beats the woman, it beats everybody. You want a quick response, AI is there for you. But don't get too carried away. Know how to use AI. That's what we say. Be intelligent in using artificial intelligence. Anyway, coming to this now. I said to you, don't put up that whole fake image and the rest. Be sincere. Now, these words in this Nasheed is telling us, firstly, I'll just play it here in the background so that we understand what's been played as well. So let's just play it here. Be satisfied with the little of life. Be satisfied with the little of life. Be prepared and prepare yourself for the long journey. Prepare yourself for the long journey. Be satisfied. Here's a repeat. Be satisfied with the little of life. And you can see in Gaza, being satisfied with absolutely nothing. No name, no houses to their names, no cars to their names. Just being satisfied. I've got my iman intact. Prepare yourself for the long journey. In His obedience, you win both on earth and the year after. His obedience, Allah's obedience, you are a winner in this world and the year after. In His obedience, there is honor for the humiliated slave. You may feel violated, humiliated, but in this is honor for you. Be satisfied again with the little of life. Be satisfied with the minimum, the bare minimum. Prepare yourself for the long journey. Safarun. Tawilun, a long journey. And in His disobedience, there is shame and fire. In His disobedience, there is shame and fire. And in such distance, you shall find humiliation. Such distance, how far have we become from Allah's remembrance, from Allah's closeness? In that is humiliation for you. Be satisfied with a little of this life and prepare yourself for the long journey. Prepare yourself for the long journey. So do not disobey your sustainer. And obey Him always, for you might be accepted. For you might be accepted. Be satisfied with the little of life, the bare minimum of life. This is the chorus. Be satisfied with a little or bare minimum of life, and prepare yourself for that safarun tawil, the long journey. And our sustainer, pray to our sustainer, offer peace and salam at sunrise and sunset to the messenger who brought, gave us glad tidings, the seal of prophets, the guide, the leader. Our sustainer sends mercy upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you also offer to the messenger who brought clear tidings, the seal of prophets, the guide, the leader. Our sustainer sends mercy at all times and offers peace to the messenger who brought clear tidings, the seal of prophets. So this year is this beautiful, wonderful words and translation, the meaning of it, the meaning of this particular Nasheed. respect with such power and turning your attention with beautiful words and a beautiful tune. So that, what do you call it? You call it heart softeners. You'll see in the books of hadith. This is heart softeners. It turns your attention from this focus of this worldly life and you're looking towards the akhirah now. So nonetheless, it's just gone 1 minute. Or it's just gone 10:51. So it's 7:51. 9 minutes to 8. And then we'll have the news, inshallah, thereafter. We will then share with you other information. There is what we have on the menu. So I said to you, 8:30 to 9, that's Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman. How to manage our time? This is something that is vital. How to manage our time? So often, we tend to think managing our time starts in the morning, but it doesn't actually start there. And this is something that I've been trying hard to actually focus on, because we just be usuli. Be usuli means we do not have any system in place. We just do go with the flow. And that's how our lives have become. But no, this time is valuable. We've quoted the hadith for you on many occasions. There is two things. نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. There is two bounties which people are grossly in deception about. And these two bounties, as-sihah wal-faragh, Nabi Kareem Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is your good health and it is your free time. Your good health and your free time. You may not have good health, but you may have free time. Or you may have good health, but no free time. Or you may, it may be the opposite. How do you manage the two? I know one elderly uncle, he's got money and he's got good health. Not the best of health, he's aging now. And he's retired. I said, you are the perfect personality, perfect person to focus on your akhirah. To give your full attention to akhirah. You've got money. Your bank balances are filled. What do you have to do? The only thing you have to do is direct your attention to meeting your sustainer. That's all you have to do. But you see, that's what we tend to think. It's just going to be so easy. They are facing their own challenges. But how to manage this time is vitally important. So we're going to have, after the news, inshallah, 10 minutes. It's actually a 30-minute lecture or preparation. How to manage your time. So from about 7 minutes past 8, we will start to play this for you. It's 10 minutes managing your time. We're all the same because I know how we are. But she told me something interesting. And you'll see Americans, they, whether you're looking at North America, I wouldn't say too much South America, but North America and the rest, they are focused on their time and they have plans in place. They have their weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. But with regards to this year, two things that you can praise them for. One is their research. It's generally deep. Whereas we just tend to, you ask the general youngster on the streets or general, he's not interested in anything. It's just games, games, games and the rest. But for some reason, we're not saying all, but you can say to a great degree, they focused on, they, you tell them something, they will make sure. You'll see Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman is from America, moved to Pakistan, but his research is generally deep and that's where we lack. And the other thing is they are very particular about their time. So from this time to this time, it's fixed. And I'm saying to you, how much of time we just let go? There's nothing we're doing. We're just passing time. So when I spoke to my sister, she said to me, and I was surprised that she changed so much. And she said, when you manage your time, then you'll see your free time, you enjoy it. And this we learned in human resources. It's called the spillover effect. I shared it with you previously. So you've got your 7 days. So this is for employment purposes. You've got your 7 day week. The 5 days that you're working generally, 5 days you're working, you give it your all when you are at work. You're not on Facebook, social media, passing time, but you're actually focusing on that which you're supposed to focus on. Then it spills over to the weekend and the 2 days that you are free now. We don't have free time. That's nothing. We do not have free time. Every second is something that is valuable, that is helping us, assisting us to akhirah. Even when you're working, because this is now your halal sustenance that is making it possible to for you, your family, to be motivated so you can eat, you feel nourished, and you feel focused. There's always that guilt when you say these things, that our people of Palestine, what they must be suffering, yet their level of worship, their level of dedicate, the masjid structure, everything is put down, but Jummah, they are there on the sand, making sure that they read their salah. You just wonder, what has happened to us? I was a bit happier today, this morning, when I saw the masjid, our Umar Farooq Masjid, it had like an extra serve. And normally, you become so happy and then you realize, but there's a Jamaat here, that's why it's looking big. It's look, the crowd is looking more afterwards. So that happiness is just for those few minutes. But today, I don't think there was a Jamaat, unless I was wrong. But the masjid had an extra serve. And this is so beautiful. We need to attach ourselves to the masajid in peace. If we cannot attach ourselves to Allah, then when all our homes and the rest, there's no more nothing left, what makes you think that we're going to be so much stronger? We need to work on our iman now. It's important. So this requires managing our time. And the beauty of this year, which I'm going to share with you, it starts, your day is managed surrounding your salah. That comes first. So it's interesting. I'm going to play for you 10 minutes and inshallah, today, tomorrow and Thursday, we play it over these 3 days. If I forget tomorrow, we are human beings. Insan, nisyan, comes from the same. We're forgetful. One person said, there's three things I always forget. So they said, what? He said, the first thing is numbers, cell phone numbers. And today it's just become so much AI, our phones, memory does all this for us. So we tend not to occupy or use so much of brains to memorize cell phone numbers and the rest. But there's a danger about this here, because when you're in an emergency, your phone gives up on you, then what happens? You're traveling, you're overseas, you do not know any numbers. What happens to you in that? So make sure there's 3-4 numbers that you know of by heart. Right? That's one. So he said, there's 3 things I always forget. One is numbers. The second is names, people's names. And he said, the third thing that I forget is I forgot. He forgot the third thing. 3 things he always forgets: numbers, names, and the third thing he forgot. Then next, inshallah, I said to you, I'm going to play for you this particular aspect with regards to time, how to manage our time. So we're going to play 10 minutes today, 10 tomorrow, and 10 on Thursday. Why are we doing it like this? So that you can digest everything. You can digest everything. And thereafter, on the group, we'll share with you the audio on the group, and that will be on this channel which we've started now. If you want to join, you just send us a message, 084-786-3132. Just say join and we'll then send you the link and then you can join yourself. So 084-786-3132, foreign country, +27 84786-3132. We'll be sharing also the nasheed that was translated. We'll share it with you also on that particular group. So we'll meet you in a few moments. Take notes, really make it, don't just make it something that you're listening to for the sake of listening. Take a pen and paper, nowadays it's easy, take your cell phone and make notes, really make notes. These are valuable pieces of advice of how you can manage your time more strategically. And I was saying to you, my sister told me that once you manage your time, you will see enjoyment in life because you've got time to do the things that you really want to do. Often we approaching something that we just don't, we do it so half-heartedly, so it takes more time, whereas we just focus and then we can enjoy the benefits afterwards. That is why, you know, when you used to study for school or the rest, 1 hour, but 45 minutes, you break it down in 1 hour programs, but 45 minutes is your actual study time and your 15 minutes is your break. So that 45 minutes you dedicated, so the 15 minutes you can relax. And that sort of boosts you again for the next. So listen to this, it's valuable.
peaceful things. I even have some glasses. Let me see if where it is. Oh, here is it. So actually, during this time, what I'm wearing are these cool glasses. And these glasses are, maybe you can see it a little bit when I put it over here. When you're looking through these glasses, the whole environment turns a little bit red. And the reason why I'm wearing those glasses, I mean, we have amazing business book about everything, but no one is sharing us how to do it as Muslims. So in today's video, I'm going to share you how I do it in the most efficient way. All right, so the first thing that I do when mapping out my whole daily schedule is looking at the most important things first, which starts, of course, with looking at the daily prayers, the 5 obligationary daily prayers that we have to do as a Muslim. And our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it as well. The most beloved by Allah are the ones that are praying on time. So the first thing that we should do is looking at when do we have our daily prayers. And for me, I'm currently staying in Dubai, so I mapped out the daily prayer times of Dubai currently. But wherever you are, this can work. I'm doing this schedule when I'm in Amsterdam, when I'm traveling, when I'm in Dubai right now. So it doesn't really matter. But the first thing that you should do is look at when do you have to pray. And maybe you are asking yourself, why is he putting Maghrib on top? Why is Maghrib the first prayer? So I will come to that in a second. So the first thing, most important thing, is mapping out when do you have to pray. The second thing that I do is looking at my sleep, because your sleep is also very, very important. It really provides your energy. It is really important to get the right rest, everything like that. So that's the second most important thing for me. So like you can see right over here, I also mapped out when I'm going to sleep. So between Isha and Fajr, of course, is the time that we're going to sleep. That's the nighttime. And the most important thing for me is that I at least have between 6 to 8 hours of sleep. Ideally, sometimes when your body really needs it, it could be even more. Sleep is the fundament of everything. I'm really seeing nowadays how people are really not taking care of their sleep anymore. People are sleeping like 4 or 5 hours a night, and I'm seeing big entrepreneurs doing this as well. But for me, it doesn't work. For me, it's really important to just have the right rest, proper rest, good qualitative sleep. And that's also why my day is mapped out starting from Maghrib. It's not only that scientifically it's proven that your morning routine starts in the night, what you do in the evening, but it's also, when you look at the Islamic calendar, the day starts after Maghrib, so after sunset. And when you look at the start of Ramadan, for example, the start at a new day, and when you look at the Islamic calendar, the new day starts after Maghrib. So when we map out our whole day, we should start looking from Maghrib. But in this scenario, I will start explaining my whole day from Isha. Why? Because what most people do is they start their day in the morning. They think that their day is starting with the morning routine, you know? Most entrepreneurs are telling you, oh, the most important thing is the morning routine. But the actual more important thing is your evening routine. What do you do before you go to bed? And why am I saying that? Because what you do before you go to bed will determine how you sleep, and that will determine what kind of energy you have to have a productive morning routine. So let's say, for example, if you are eating snacks the whole evening, you are constantly on your phone, you're sleeping very late, you have 4 hours of sleep, you're completely tired and low energy, and you're going to have a productive morning routine. You cannot tell me that you are going to have a productive morning routine if you are not taking care of your evening routine and how much hours you sleep. So the first thing that I do is after Isha, sometimes I go to the masjid and sometimes I do it at home. After Isha, I have a couple of rules. And this set of rules is actually called the 3-2-1 rule. The 3-2-1 rule. And it starts actually even between Maghrib and Isha. So I will write it down here quickly. 3-2-1 rule. The 3-2-1 rule actually means 3 hours before I go to bed, I don't eat any food anymore. Because when you eat a lot of food before you go to bed, it takes a lot of energy for your body to process that food. Because what happens when you go to bed and you eat a lot of food, or even a little bit, You go to sleep, you close your eyes, but your body is still working, is still processing all of the food, everything. So it's really bad to eat before you go to bed. Now, 2 hours before I go to bed, I make sure that I don't drink anymore. No water, nothing. And the reason for that is a little bit the same as the 3 hours no food before you go to bed. But the main reason is actually because if you drink before you go to bed, the likelihood of you needing to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night is getting higher. Then 1 hour before you go to bed, no screens. What I do is I make sure that there is nothing coming into my brain anymore. No TV, no Netflix, no social media, no phones, no messaging, no calls, nothing. Just winding down and taking time. And most of the time, the 3 and the 2 already starts before Isha. And the 1 rule, so no screens, nothing, is actually after Isha. And then in order to know how to structure this rule, it's very important that I determine when I need to go to sleep. And I do that by looking at, all right, I want between 6 to 8 hours of sleep, and I want to wake up at Fajr. Fajr time currently is 4:30 in the morning, 4:30 a.m. So normally right now, I'm going to sleep between a little bit around 10 o'clock in the night, in the evening. So that means that I'm having like 2 hours after Isha because Isha is at 8. So what I do right over here is I'm going to the masjid. I'm reading the Quran, reflecting. These are the kinds of activities that I'm doing. Sometimes go to the masjid. Of course, I'm focusing on my prayer. Sometimes voluntary extra prayers in the evening. It's also very good to just wind down and get into the mood of going to bed. Reading Quran, reading some other books maybe, but most of the time it's just Quran because all of those business books contain a lot of information that your brain, it keeps going crazy. So Quran is just peaceful. It's just really good for your heart, for your mind. So it's amazing to do that before you go to bed. Reciting Surat Al-Mulk, also very important to do before you go to bed. So these kinds of things are things that I'm doing. Sometimes I just grab a note, piece of paper, and I'm writing down my thoughts. Maybe you have noticed that before you go to bed, all of the thoughts start running and you cannot sleep. That's because you're not taking time to let your thoughts come out. You know, you're constantly, when daytime is there, only thing that you're doing is letting information in. When you have some rest, you're opening your social media, you're scrolling. But it's also important that you take some time sometimes to just write down your thoughts. Because you are a person that can produce as well. Do not only consume the whole day, because that's also a big reason why people are experiencing stress, burnout, even like that. It all starts by just overstimulating your brain. So between Isha and bedtime, it is very important for me to just wind down and not do anything except from just peaceful things. I even have some glasses. Let me see where it is. Oh, here is it. So actually, during this time, what I'm wearing are these cool glasses. And these glasses are, maybe you can see it a little bit when I put it over here. When you're looking through these glasses, the whole environment turns a little bit red. And the reason why I'm wearing those glasses is because the color red, is the lowest color in the Kelvin spectrum. And this color red stimulates the creation of the hormone melatonin. And melatonin is the hormone in your brain that you need in order to fall asleep. So between this, no screens, because blue lights, all of these lights during the day, you shouldn't have that after sunrise. It's very bad for your biological rhythms, everything like that. It's very bad for your sleep, the quality of your sleep, and usually it takes a lot of time to fall asleep if you are not taking time to wind down a little bit. So that was only the evening routine. So one more time, the evening routine is the most important thing if you want to have a productive day. After that, good qualitative sleep, then you have the morning. So my alarm wakes me up for Fajr. And in the morning, when I wake up for Fajr, the most beautiful thing is to just do wudu, fresh up a little bit, and go outside to the masjid. If there is a masjid nearby, I always go. If I'm currently staying, traveling at a place where I'm not really close to a masjid, then I unfortunately have to pray at home. But currently here, Alhamdulillah, in Dubai, there are a lot of masjids, a lot of mosques all over the place. There's just one here around the corner. And it's also really nice to wake up that way because you're catching some fresh air, which is very good for your body. You're moving a little bit, you know, so it's easier for your body to wake up. So a lot of benefits are for going to the mosque. And I'm even speaking about the barakah that's in your morning when you really go to the masjid and you pray together.
Respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we had to cut you off there. I said 10 minutes a day, so we stick to it, inshallah. We're going to send this year the 10 minutes that was played today so that you focus, so you get your, you build yourself up to it. So the nights we need to sort out. Because what happens is, and I get caught up like this as well, is because you are looking at this, you are watching, you are going, reading this. For me, it's reading. And you just tend to say, okay, I need to read this, I need to read that, I need to read this. And you know with YouTube how you just get caught in. And once you're caught in, your whole night goes like this here. And one particular point, if you made it, if you listened, is when you look at your screen time needs to be stopped an hour before you sleep. But we, till that last moment, and then we're struggling to sleep because we're so activated now. He puts on the glasses with the red lens. So this sort of then prepares him, and that's it's a particular thing which your brain, it releases melatonin. Melatonin is important for sleep. Now, if you do not get that, you can't sleep. So this is something that is important. So these are facts. 1 hour before screen time, you stop. And you just, your night supposed to, if you see how this works in, with what Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, after Isha Salah, you must go sleep. No talking. There mustn't be talking after Isha Salah. You need to spend a few moments with your wife, your spouse, that's different. But something dini, that's fine. But what we are doing is we're engaging too much in this year. And I will say this as well, because often I said, because it's dini, let me look, read this kitab, let me look at this. And it gets so interesting, hadith, all of it becomes so interesting. And before you know it, and then you feel like, hey, yeah, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, how much time? They used to give all night. So what's, if I have to just give a little bit extra. But the ramifications of that is you don't wake up for your farad. And that is Fajr Salah. Because now you've changed your timetable. And that which is compulsory, you're leaving. So see, putting things back. They had the stamina and they had the capacity to do so. Whereas us, it's not the same. But rather us, we are engaging in all this, which is wasting time and looking at this video. Then YouTube gives you the option for the next one. And it just becomes so interesting. Let me check this. Let me check this. And your time is gone. So it starts at night. You've made points. You've made strategic a plan in place, inshallah, you'll start this. I don't expect you from now already. But this year, many sicknesses are developing because our sleep is not intact. We're sacrificing our sleep. And why? For something that doesn't matter. It's not helping us to wake up for Fajr. It's not. It's just information, added information at the wrong time. And this is what it's becoming. It's becoming harmful for us. So anyway, I shared with those members who asked for the to join the group. So there you've got it now. And inshallah, we'll share with you. Perhaps we'll just make a podcast of all of this and send it through. We've got all the technology here, but I've realized we're not using it appropriately and efficiently. So I said, let's start using it effectively. So let's give you a 3-minute break. Before we get to that, I just want to share with you this here, because we had a listener yesterday. And I said Appa, but we, out of respect, you refer to elderly people as Appa. You know, your bigger sister, you call her Appa in most Muslim homes. And this is the practice here in South Africa. For the big sister, you call her Appa. And that kind of respect, it just drives in that respect today. Anyway, from this particular Appa, the message came through yesterday. We need some South African affairs, what's happening in our South African world. So I'm just going to share with you one thing I heard this morning personally. So I said, let's just listen to a portion what's happening in South Africa. I then, you know, it's easy, you just go on your Google, you say 702, what's happening. And 7:30, every half an hour, they keep you updated. So 6:30 it was in the morning, and Bongani Bingwa, he's the presenter for the morning program. He was doing the program, and you know 702 is, the CEO is Jonathan Proctor. Jonathan Proctor, CEO. I've heard this from people from 702. I've heard this from people from, because CEO of 702, Jonathan Proctor. In the same building, Jonathan Proctor is also the CEO of 94.7. So they do not allow anybody. If I go and I send a message through, they will first scrutinize. They've got a way, a system to see who am I, how am, and they will not allow my voice. You know, sometimes they have comments, you can, and they allow to play voices. They don't worry about male and female and all of this. So you can play it on air, or they will play it on air for you. But for you, they will scrutinize you. If you even whisper Palestine or anything in favor of Palestine, they won't allow your voice to go through. And you know there's a delay. So if I'm speaking now, perhaps you are not hearing it directly live. It's like a 10-second, 20-second delay. And if they hear something mentioned about Palestine, quickly, immediately, the engineer is there and he blocks it off. It will cut off. Blockers. Blockers. They don't allow this here. You know, in those who are involved in curtains, and for us especially, you want those blockers, because in the morning with the sun, although you're supposed to be up already, but just say you want to sleep in the day, so you close your curtains fully. And I know, because we have certain migraines and that, and you just got to be in the dark, total dark. So those blockers really help behind the curtain, so no light whatsoever can come through. This is exactly what it is. They do not want any guidance, any light to come through, even a slight light. So they block it off totally, completely. Nothing about Palestine. Now I want to share with you this here. This is the point I want to share with you. So Bongani Bingwa, he is the presenter for the morning. So 6:30, he has this where it is, he discusses the headlines in the famous newspapers of South Africa. So he's reading all. So he comes to Sowetan Times. Sowetan Times. And here's it here. I share with you. I'll post it on the group as well. Sowetan Times. So it just makes it easier. Once you're on the group, all the information, we just send it there. Instead of listeners asking individually, send me this, send me this. So you get it eventually anyways, either way. If I forget, you just have to remind me thereafter. So what was the Sowetan Live? Sowetan Live, their news, had it. Don't regret taking Israel to the ICJ over Gaza genocide. This was the headlines. We don't regret taking Israel to the ICJ over Gaza genocide. And then it has then the subheading, legal action has strained relations between SA and US. So he was reading it just off the cuff, I think. And then he came to this and he realized, hey, we don't regret taking Israel to the ICJ over. Didn't even comment anything, went on to the next headlines. So it sort of like cornered him to say it. And alhamdulillah, somehow, it's got to come through. But just imagine, hey, it's just ponder over this. And I leave you with this thought. What low levels have we reached where you've got UAE who up? They are not proud, let's clarify. But undercover, they are helping, assisting their friends, the rogue regime. I read for you this morning where now Israel wants to move these negotiations and the meetings that take place to the UAE or some other European country. What's the reason behind this? UAE is totally pro. They're sending weapons, they're sending assistance. They are helping to remove people of Gaza. and helping with these tents. You've seen it. Just go on the Sunnah Files website. You'll see all this information there. And this is not by them. They said this year, they've got the, we put it on the newsflash as well yesterday, that this is done systematically by them, but it's been exposed by an Israeli website. So you can just see what is exactly happening here. But you can see they are slowly, slowly gapping in. And that is what Allah teaches us. يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. They wish to extinguish the light of Allah Azza wa Jal with their mouths. Mouths, meaning mouthpieces. وَيَعْبَى اللَّهِ Allah rejects إِلَّا أَن يُتِمَّ نُورَهِ, except that he will complete his nur, وَلَوْ كَرِيَ الْكَافِرُونَ, even though the kuffar dislike it. Let's move to our next. So that was South African affairs. We said we'll share with you a little bit. Next, we will move towards our interview segment, and this is with Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman, inshallah.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.